Weather briefings from the Division of Emergency Management on Tropical Storm Nate. Based on the last latest forecast from the National Hurricane Center, we expect the storm to continue its northward track as it moves into the Gulf of Mexico this weekend. This storm has the potential to become a hurricane and impact the Florida Panhandle this weekend, and families must be ready. The most severe weather is often on the east side of the storm, and Florida could still experience torrential rain and the threat of tornadoes in the Panhandle. Even though the storm's track has shifted west, it can still threaten Florida, and we cannot become complacent. Remember how much the track of Irma changed in the final days before landfall. We cannot let our guard down. Let's remember it only took Hurricane Harvey 2 days to go from becoming a tropical storm in the Gulf to making landfall in Texas as a catastrophic and deadly Category 4 hurricane. Think about it, just 2 days. That's why we have to take this seriously and be prepared now. Today, I will declare a state of emergency for 29 counties in Florida to make certain that state, federal, and local governments are able to work together and make sure resources are dispersed to local communities as we get prepared for this storm. In Florida, we always prepare for the worst, and while the track seems to be shifting west, we can't take any chances. This state of emergency will ensure that we have the ability to quickly move resources around the state to get our communities prepared. I have also activated our State Emergency Operations Center to Level 1, which engages 24-hour staffing to make sure resources are being provided and needs are being met as we prepare for this storm. Let's remember, we're still in the heart of hurricane season. While it's hard to imagine experiencing another storm right now, everyone has to be prepared. In Florida, we know what it means to be prepared for potential storms during hurricane season, and Nate is no different. Have a plan, have a disaster preparedness kit, and be ready today. 3 days of water, 3 days of food, have your medicine, know where you're going to evacuate. For details on how to create a personalized plan for your home, business, and loved ones, please visit www.flgetaplan.org today to get prepared. We are 100% focused on making sure Floridians have timely information on this storm, and we will continue to closely monitor Tropical Storm Nate and issue updates as it progresses. Just before we walked in, we got an update here, and I got an update from the state meteorologist. And just remember that if this storm slows down, there's a greater chance it's going to go a little bit further to the east. So we've got to be very prepared, and then to also remember we're on the bad side of the storm. So rain, potential storm surge, and tornadoes. And historically, there's been more tornadoes if a storm comes up on the Gulf Coast than if it comes up through the Atlantic. Now let me turn it over to CFO.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you all for bringing here this to our service to our constituents today. What's happening with the storm is now you're going to preparedness mode. The role that RHC is going to play is to make sure that you don't get damaged twice by the storm. As you are feeling threatened by the storm, get a copy of your insurance policy, put it in a safe place. Hopefully you're putting it in a Ziploc bag, keep it with you. You want to be able to prepare for any claims process afterwards. But that starts by having information in hand and being informed of how to get in touch with your insurance agent or your insurance company in order to start the claims process. Having that documentation is just going to expedite your recovery process. Any questions regarding that, call us, 1-877-MY-FL-CFO. Our insurance hotline is exactly there to do that, to help you understand what your options are after the storm and that recovery. Governor, thank you for your leadership. Commissioner, thank you for your leadership. Commissioner Putnam.
Thank you, Chief. Governor, thank you for continuing to prepare Floridians for the worst. We have had more practice preparing for storms than we would like. There is no circumstance of this storm moving into the Gulf where Florida's not on the dirty side of it. So it's important that people not get complacent. Complacency costs lives. The Gulf of Mexico with the warm waters is steroids for a hurricane. And so it is important that people prepare, that they take it seriously. Don't focus on that dotted line of where it may or may not go. Remember that this is a large area of impact. Surge, wind, tornadoes, a range of things that will affect Florida families. And so as we move into the weekend and continue to monitor this, it's important that everyone make a plan, stick with your plan, focus on the latest updates from the news and recognize that it's not a, don't focus on that single dashed line. The area of impact, the surge up into the Big Bend of Florida, the wind forces, the tornadoes that the governor mentioned, all put Floridians at risk. And so don't take this lightly. Don't be complacent. There have been many years where Florida has had multiple storms in one hurricane season. So don't think that we've already checked the box for 2017.
We'll be glad to answer any questions anybody has.
And by the way, with regard to Irma, if you have any questions about your insurance, how it works or anything like that, don't hesitate to call the CFO. And the commissioner and I spoke yesterday about the amount of damage that our ag industry has already experienced this year and our citrus industry. And so we're going to continue to figure out how we can make sure we take care of that industry, working with the federal government and our local governments. We can answer any questions anybody has. Yes?
How many counties did you say you had declared a state of emergency?
29 counties.
Okay.
So, and the purpose of doing this is to make sure our counties can work together well to get prepared, and then, of course, to deal with the after effects. It seems like this is going to impact all the counties that didn't have major impact from Irma. So, and let me tell you, you should be very proud of your state. We have very good state emergency management team, local emergency management teams. But if you look at all the state agencies, they worked well together with our local governments and to do everything we can to take care of everybody. And we'll keep doing that. Yes.
After Irma hit the state, have you changed any strategies or any plans or thought process to look at this one in a different way?
You know, one thing, Irma was our third hurricane in about 12 months. So one thing we learned from Irmine is to make sure that our utilities all work together well. And that did happen. It happened in Matthew. It happened with Irma. So that's one thing that if you didn't get your power back on in a day, you're probably frustrated. But the reality is they worked hard to get your power back on quickly. And so most of the state was back, even though we had 13 million people out of power after Irma, within 5 days, most of the state was back, had their power back in their house. The one thing we learned in this last one is that we got to make sure there's propane, because what happened in the southern part of the state is people had generators. All over the state that had an impact where you lost power, they had generators. Often they ran out of propane. And so we've already talked about that yesterday. We had a call yesterday with fuel suppliers and just make sure we have all that on there. I mean, you have to really appreciate what the coordination in Irma. I mean, we were short of fuel, overall fuel, walking into it because of Harvey. And highway safety, local law enforcement, everybody worked hard, DOT, keep our roads open and make sure people could evacuate. The Panhandle was a big help. Helping set up shelters for people that were leaving other parts of the state. I can tell you, I visited them, and people were very appreciative. Anybody else? All right, Governor. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. We've been receiving questions from tourists who are planning on coming down for the long weekend that they need to change their plans ahead of the storm. What's your advice to people coming from out of state?
Follow the weather. We'll know in the next... we won't know for sure, but in the next 24 hours, we'll have a pretty good idea what's going to happen. If you remember Hurricane Andrew, because I was in the hospital business then, we thought it was going to go up the Miami River in Miami, and in the last half hour, it moved south, and it basically demolished one of my hospitals. So you just have to keep following it. Hopefully, here's the risk. The risk is if it slows down, it's probably going to come a little bit further to the east. If it slows down, it's a greater chance it's going to move up in categories. And so we've just got to follow it. I mean, it's not the National Hurricane Center is giving us the best information they can. They're learning more every day. But everybody has got to watch it and then take care of your family. Our law enforcement, our first responders do a really good job. But in the middle of a storm, it's very difficult for them to come out and save you.
Yes. I know that we were west of Irma, but now the storm is going to be west of us. And you talked a little bit about those, the outer bands being on the other side of it this time, and that it's more dangerous. Is that what you said?
Well, you get more wind, you get more storm surge, and it's probably a greater chance for tornadoes. If you go back to 2012, when I think it was Ivan that hit Louisiana, it was supposed to hit Florida, and it sort of touched Key West and started going west, we had 20 inches of rain in West Palm Beach. We had unbelievable flooding there. And so you have to watch these rain bands that come and just sit there. And so you just can't be complacent. I know locally in the Panhandle, they'll be watching very closely, and they'll if they need to do evacuation orders, they'll be doing evacuation orders based on how much storm surge they think is going to happen, how much rain is going to happen, how much flooding. One positive right now is, in contrast to other parts of the state, we're not saturated. If you go to the southern part of Florida, still it's wet. If you drive up 75 from where I live in Naples, it's still, you can see it's still really wet down there. The Lake Okeechobee is up to almost 17 feet now, which needs to come down as quickly as we can get it down. So the southern part of the state is still wet. Fortunately, this is not as bad.
No, that's generator safety.
You want to talk about that?
Sure. The other thing that the governor touched on, please be said, in the last hurricane we had in Irma, 11 deaths could have been avoided because of generator safety. Individuals bringing their generators inside their dwellings and operating them. Carbon monoxide poisoning, you don't know what's going to happen next, but you'll die. So look, I can't stress enough, generators, that's what extension cords are for. They go outside your dwelling, not inside your dwelling, not anywhere in a contained environment where you could be subject to the poisonous gases. Yes.
I was just going to ask, when you guys were preparing and responding to Hurricane Irma, is there anything that you learned that you're paying special attention to now?
I think everybody worked well together. I think the big takeaway is you got to continue to talk to each other, and everybody's got to do it. I mean, the commissioner has responsibilities, local government has responsibilities, the CFO has responsibilities. Everybody worked hard together. I want more. I've already asked. We got to get more. Make sure we have plenty of propane. I don't want people to do the right thing and have a generator, and then run out of gas. I've already talked to Gulf Power and Stan Conley, the president of Gulf Power, they're ready. Our utilities have done, through Matthew and Irma, a really good job of bringing in resources. We had 61,000 people working to restore our power. Now, we're also trying to be helpful to Puerto Rico in this. We have three disaster relief centers, one at the Orlando Airport, the Miami Airport, the Port of Miami. We've had 6,000 Puerto Ricans come here. We have provided services through FTLE, through Highway Safety, has sent 50 officers over there, along with vehicles, with patrol cars. So we're going to continue to be helpful to them, but I know that we have the resources here to all work together to take care of the Panhandle if we end up getting hit.
Yes. Is there any concern about managing what happened in the Keys, people from Puerto Rico coming through in another hurricane or tropical storm, whatever happens on top of that?
Well, you clearly have to think about it. You have to think about where your resources are. Like after we sent resources to Harvey, to Texas, and so as Irma hit us, we brought those resources back. We feel comfortable. We have the resources. We have if you look at the way our emergency management works, whether at the state or local level, we have the best in the country. They really work well together. We have constant communication, and we have a very good process to share resources. We have a very good National Guard, so we still have 400 members of our National Guard called up to help with debris removal and helping homeowners down in the Keys. And so we'll call up resources as we need them. But right now, the best would be just dissipate, go away, because you don't want anybody to get hit. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody.